Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. And we will begin at verse number 1. Amen. Going to start a new series tonight. Praise the Lord. No more evangelistical stuff. Amen. I really don't plan on holding it very long. We'll just see. Deuteronomy 19 and 1. When the Lord God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way. Divide the coast by the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live, whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in time past. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, the head slippeth from the helve and lighteth upon the neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him because the way is long and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give thee unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways, or ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three more cities for thee besides these three. Amen. I want to go back to verse number 3, and I want to take our topic from here. It says, thou shalt prepare thee a way. Amen. Thou shalt prepare thee a way. Amen. And so tonight I'm just going to start on a series. I've got probably two or three different ones that I want to accomplish and to get to before the end of the year. And so we're just going to talk about preparing for. Amen. Preparing for. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we just ask the Lord to help us here tonight? God, you're good to us. You've helped us so much. Your word is so true, so real, so right. I pray, God, that you would reach down and that you would talk to us, Lord. You know what you desire to say to us, God. You know the way. God, you know what has to be said. I pray, God, that you would reach down into this place tonight, that you would talk to us, deal with us, minister, move in this house, Lord. And we will be so quick to give you the praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Now, obviously, subject that is in this here tonight, it consists of the cities of refuge, and this was what the Lord was talking about. But I think that there are some very important things to bring forth in this tonight, and it starts off just there in verse number 1, and it just simply says, when the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations. In other words, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we just have to be, the children of Israel had to be just intelligent enough to understand and to know that the nations had been cut off. I think that they would be able to easily understand that, to be easily able to perceive that. And he said, whose land the Lord thy God giveth you. So what he was saying, he said, not only is he going to cut off these nations, but he is going to give you their land, and you are going to succeed after them. You're going to go in thereafter, and you're going to dwell in their cities, and you're going to dwell in their houses. And so these are cities that you didn't build, houses that you didn't build, lands that you didn't create, you didn't put together and stuff. And the Lord said that you are going to go in and you're going to inhabit these. And he said, but when all of these things happen, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to separate three cities. Now here's where he begins to talk concerning the cities of refuge. And not just the cities of refuge, but there in verse number 3, he says, you shall prepare there or prepare thee away. And so he said, now there, here's some things that you're going to do. You're going to separate three cities. That's what you are going to have to do. And then he says that you are going to have to prepare. So in other words, there are some work. There is some work. There is some things that you are going to have to set forth and to do, but you are going to prepare thee away, divide the coast of the land into three parts. And you're going to separate these cities for you. And then down in verse number 8, he goes on to say, and he said, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. Amen. So in other words, what he was saying here is, you know, if the Lord enlarge your coast, like he has already promised that he was going to do, when this happens, now there is a contingency upon this. He said, I'm going to give you the land and give the land that he promised to give unto the fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them. And so it's a contingency. He said, now look, he said, the Lord is going to give you these things. You're going to inhabit lands. You're going to inhabit houses and cities that you had no investment into and building them and setting them up, but you're going to inhabit these. And then on top of all of that, after you make three cities, then when the Lord gives you abundantly more, as he has promised to do, when he enlarges your coast, as he's promised to do and as he promised to give unto your fathers, he said, now all this is contingent if you keep the commandments. If you keep the commandments, this is what is going to happen. You keep these commandments and you do them, loving your Lord your God, walking ever in his ways. He said, then what's going to happen is you're going to add three more cities besides these threes, and obviously you're going to have to prepare a way for these cities as well. These were cities that were strategically planned. They weren't just cities who got the most vote and popular opinion and stuff like this, but the Lord specified. And so the first thing that I want to say here tonight is that this was a divine appointment. So the Lord said, look, I'm going to give you all of this land, all right? Now here's what, you're not just going to pick your three cities and do these things, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to look, and I want you to divide the country into three equal parts. And in those three equal parts, I want you to pick a specific city so that they would relatively be the exact same distance one from another. This was, some of this is in Jewish history. Some of this is in our Bible. You would have to go over into the book of Joshua. You could go into the book of Numbers, and you got to pull from multiple sources to get the whole compilation of everything. But it teaches us that the Lord was speaking, and the Lord's will was that these cities would be in equal distances, that no matter what happens, when it happens, if I am in the dead middle, I can go left or right, I can go forward or backwards, depending on what directions I am facing. And it's not like I'm going to be so far away from one of these cities of refuge that I'm not going to be able to make it. The only reason that I don't make it is because I don't put forth the effort. And so the Lord specifies it like this. And in one place, he said that there would be a city that would be at the north end, one that is central, and one that is in the south end. And then he talked about the equal distances away from each other. And I'm not going to go over into Joshua chapter number 20 and go through all of that. But there was a way that was here. And then he said, I want you to prepare a way to these cities. I want you to prepare away. And this preparation was obviously a road. It was a continental system that they would be able to get from here to there with the easiest ability. It wasn't going to be over thick, through thick wooded jungles and forest and such like that. It wasn't going to be over the high hills and the deep valleys and so hard that you would give out trying to traverse over the large hills and such. But it was a place that I want you to get from wherever you are to whichever city that you decide to go to as easy as you possibly can get there. And the Lord would stipulate and say, and when he looked at the children of Israel, he said, and you are responsible for this. Now, when we think about this, what we are saying is that the Lord God is setting a place. God is setting up a law. God is setting up a principle for the innocent one, for the one that is guilty of, say, manslaughter, but not guilty of murder, and that they would have a place to go to. God said, I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to say there are three cities. But it's up to you to prepare the way of how to get from there to there. Relatively easy. Now, why is this important to you and I? Because it may be your son that is in need of getting from there to there. It may be your spouse. It may be your relative. It may be your father, your mother. It may be one of your dearest friends. And so the inference here is that if you love people, your relatives, your friends, and others, like you say that you do, then you are going to invest time into creating a way, into preparing a way that they can get from the place that they are to the place of safety as quickly as they possibly can. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. I feel such a divine inspiration, amen, to preach this. And I, amen, even as I am preaching, amen, the Lord is just laying some things upon my heart today, amen, tonight. But it was the people's responsibility to create the path. The Lord told them, he said, you are the one that has to prepare the way. Praise God. And so these cities were established for the one that would kill an individual unaware or accidentally. And during the heat of the moment, the avenger of blood, before he has all the facts together, he just reacts. And he goes forth to kill the one that killed his loved one. And the Lord said, I'm going to prepare a place that they can have for safety. Praise God. And so God divinely ordained this. Numbers chapter 35 and 9 said, Lord spake unto Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come over Jordan unto the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities in the city of refuge for the slayer of man that may flee thither, which would cause any person, would killeth any person unaware. Joshua 20 and 1, he began to speak out, and he said, speak to the children of Israel, and saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge. And then after that you have these cities of refuge, then you need to prepare the way, the path, amen, for them to be able to get from where they are unto where they need to be. And so these cities represented something more than just the combined wisdom of the council of elders. But this was the wisdom of God. This was God ordained. And this was God appointed. And so for the next few minutes of time, I just want to go back and I want to elaborate a little bit on the way. Amen. The responsibility that you and I have. God said, I will set aside the place. I will establish the place. Amen. You can pick and choose, amen, where it is, but it needs to be in a place that is relatively easy, and this is for your benefit because you may accidentally need it, and so this is for your benefit that you will be able to get to the place of safety as quickly as you possibly can. And so every divinely appointed city of refuge was strategically located from any given point in the land of Canaan, and one of these three cities was going to be easy to get too. Praise God. Amen. And then if one was in the need of the safety of that city of refuge, would be able to afford, then they would never have very far to go. I feel the unction of the Spirit desiring to talk to us today. Amen. I feel the unction of the Spirit inspiring us. Hey, church, you need to be preparing the way. I'm going to establish the place of safety. I'm going to establish the rules and the regulations and all of those things that happen. But you need to prepare a way, because you're going to come in contact with, and there are going to be people that are going to be in need of, amen, people that you know of, people that you don't know of. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, amen, that the city of refuge was for three different people. Number one, it was for the children of Israel. Amen. That was everybody such as you and I. Number two, it was for the sojourner. Amen. The one that was just traveling from here to there and something accidentally happened. Number three, it was for the stranger. Amen. That had no clue, no inclination. Amen. Had no investment, no affiliation, no allegiance. They're just traveling. They don't know anything about it. But something happens and they reach out of fright and fear and say, hey, something just happened. It was a total accident. And you can point them and say, look, I want you to look at that sign right there. If you will follow that sign and follow that path, it'll lead you to a gate that is open. And when you get in there, don't get out. Because if you ever come out before the death of the high priest, then the avenger of blood will be able to come after you. But if you'll just keep following, you'll make it. I know I've cleaned out the path. I've made straight the way. I've prepared a way. And you can make it. Church, that's our responsibility. We've got a responsibility to prepare the way. Don't just say, I hope they can make it. I hope they got enough grit in them to get through. I hope they got enough determination that they can get through. Don't take the mindset that says, well, nobody helped me get to where I am. If they really want to do it, they can do it. And if they don't want to do it, then bless God. Amen. They're just not going to do it. Don't take that mentality. God has been good to you. You owe it to yourself. And you owe it to the kingdom of God. And you owe it to your family. And you owe it to your friends. You owe it to everybody that is around you to prepare the way and make a way to that place that is easy for them to get to. Let's love the Lord here today. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, amen, of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to be guilty of doing any of that. I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and I surely don't want to stand in the way of sinners. I don't want my actions to prohibit people from coming to the house of God. I don't want my conversation, amen, to cause people to look elsewhere. I don't want my actions. I don't want my conversation. Amen. I don't want, amen, anything that I say or anything that I do to prevent somebody from finding the way that they need to find to Jesus. But when they need Jesus, I want them to come find me, amen, so that they would know there is a way. There is a way which leadeth unto the glory. There is a way which leadeth unto salvation. I want them to come find me because of my conversation. I want them to come find me because of my lifestyle. I want them to come say, hey, if I ever needed hope, I come to you because I know that you would be the one that would be able to give me hope. I'm going through everything in life and nothing looks good. What can I do? You get on this path right here and it'll lead you to the place of safety. It'll cause you to be saved in a time, in a situation that you're in. Praise God, praise God.
Amen. Praying a few weeks ago, the Lord began to impress this, began to lay it upon my heart. Amen. The Lord said, you got to prepare the way. Amen. Here's the deal, church. We say that we want revival. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want revival? That's pretty easy. It looks like 100%. Amen. Is there anybody in here that you could raise your hand and say, oh yeah, I know somebody I'd love to see in church? Okay. Okay. You know what? That's good. That's good. How are they going to get here? Yeah. All right. Number two, why would they come? Well, you know what? These aren't trick questions. They're not trick questions. These are things that we have got to be prepared for. If we say that we want revival, how are we going to be able to handle it? Yeah, I mean, and if it's just one or two, we could probably handle that. But you know what? Sometimes churches can't handle one or two. You know why? Because sometimes there's too many mentalities that say, nobody held my hand to get me to where I am. So you know what? If they got the goods, they'll make it. If they don't have the goods, they'll wash out like everybody else. No, 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 no. We're not having that. We're not having that mentality. So what mentality are we going to have? I'm going to tell you what mentality we're going to have. That every time anybody comes to this church, whether it is a sinner that has never been here before, whether it is a sinner that has been here multiple times, whether it is a backslider that's left and came and left and came and left and came and left and came and left and came, I'm just telling you what, I'm so glad God didn't leave me every time that I thought. I'm glad God didn't push me to the curb every time that I was down in the valley and wondering. Amen. Every time that there is somebody, woo, Jesus. Every time that there's somebody that may miss church, it's not a moment of, well, you know what, if they got it, they'll come through it. Why not issue a helping hand? Why not help prepare the way? Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you what preparing the way is. That's when, amen, every service that we have a visitor come. Amen. That means that every one of us, amen, are invested in preparing the way. And every one of us are getting to them somehow, some way, shaking their hand. You need to introduce yourself. Hi, my name is such and such. Amen. We are so glad to have you. You know what that makes them want to do? It makes them want to continue. It makes them want to come back. It makes them want to stay on the path that they already are on to find that city of refuge, to find that hope, to find that promise, to find, amen, what they have always dreamed about. They can't find it here. But it ain't going to happen if we don't prepare a way. What if the way is all overgrown with brush? Thorns and thistles from attitudes and stuff. Praise God. You can see I ain't in my notes right now. What if the way is overgrown with cliques and pride? What if the way is overgrown in bad attitudes and bitterness and contentment and all of those other things? It's not a way that I want to be on. If I'm looking to try to find help, I'm not running through the briars and the thickets. I want to find the easy way. He said, Jesus, the Lord said, prepare the way. Prepare the way. You know what the responsibility of preparing the way was for? Well, you know what the responsibility of preparing the way included? Numerous things. Numerous things. Somebody had to make signs. Not just one sign, but they had to make two signs for every location, which included every crossroad. How many crossroads in life have you come to? I mean, sometimes you come to multiple crossroads every day. There had to be two signs at every crossroad. Why? Because I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to wonder, which way should I take? I don't want you to miss one. So we're going to put it up there twice. And I believe that the Hebrew word was malik, which just simply meant refuge, safety. And so there was a sign that said refuge and another sign that said refuge to get your attention. And so the person that is running for safety, he doesn't come to the crossroads of life and look both ways and say, which way should I take? No, the way is plainly laid out. Two signs are out there saying, hey, hurry, don't stop, don't hesitate. This is the way. This is the way that you need to go. And so he would be able to, he wouldn't even have to slow down. He's running full blast. They're basically in all capital letters. It's spelled out for him. It's ready. And it's basically, you understand what all caps means. Somebody's writing in all caps. Well, you respond back to him. You say, look, you don't have to yell. Yeah, you don't have to shout. Don't yell at me. So that's what all caps mean. And that's pretty much what it was in all caps. Refuge, refuge. It's yelling at him. Keep on. You can make it. You can do it. Don't hesitate. We're rooting for you. We're surrounded by such a, amen, an innumerable company of angels. Amen. And all of these witnesses in heaven. Amen. That are stating, you know what? You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And you know who that's for? That's for the child of God, the sojourner and the stranger. Amen. Because sometimes you feel worn out. Amen. The devil's hot on your tail and, amen, chasing you down and you're trying to find a place of safety. Safety, and you want to find it at the feet of Jesus, and there is a sign that's established out there basically yelling at you, keep on keeping on, don't give up, don't hesitate, don't stutter step, just keep on keeping on, just keep running that good race, that good faithful race. Amen. Those signs that was just yelling at you saying, don't be weary and well doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And you come to this crossroad in life, and this one looks like, amen, everything is going well in it. And this one looks like, amen, this could be the answer. But yet the signs ahead of you are just screaming at you. Come on, come on, you can make it. And so you're not looking to the right or to the left. Amen. You're just moving on. But when you get to that interstate, that place that it would change to directions in your life, it's well noted. You finally came off of just the back roads. Now you're on the main road there. Amen. And it's yelling at you this way. Keep on, keep on. And you can turn and make that turn in life. And you can run all the way to that place of safety. You know what you found when you got to that place of safety? In many places where there were walled in cities, amen, at the nighttime they would close the gates. And there would be a watchman that would stand upon the wall. And he would make his announcement and say, the gates are getting ready to close. He didn't have to make that announcement. Everybody knew the sun was setting. That's when the robbers come out. It's time to get inside the gates because they're going to be closing. And if the gates close, they're not opening for me until the morning time. And so I got to make sure that I'm in. Not in the city of refuge. When you came to the city of refuge and it was the darkest hour of your life, the gate was open and ready for you to run in, and there were guards that were sitting there, amen, that when you made it through those, they would bar the way for nobody to be able to come in after you, amen. And even the avenger of blood knew they've reached the place of safety, and I can't enact judgment out upon them, amen. When you made it, you made it, and then you weren't to leave the city until the death of the high priest. And when the high priest passes away, then you would be able to go out. I'm not going to elaborate and get in all of that, but thank God we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that high priest went and he died for our sins, but he is not dead. He rose again, and he is alive forevermore, and he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Amen. The devil thought that it was over and said, you're mine now. Amen. But 3 days later, he rose from that grave. Amen. And he is victorious. And you can find safety in his refuge. Praise God. It's not just for the Israelite. It's not just for the child of God. It's for everybody. Jesus said it's for whosoever will. It doesn't matter if they're a sojourner or a stranger. It doesn't matter what nationality they are. It doesn't matter what gender they are. It doesn't matter what their financial status is. It doesn't matter if they're poor or they're rich. The rich needed a place of safety just like the poor needed a place of safety. And there wasn't a place of safety, one for the rich and one for the poor. It was for all. He said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is the rest which is spoke for the weary. Amen. That with a stammering lip and another tongue that he would speak to his people. Amen. That's the rest. That's the rest. That's the rest that was coming. Praise God. Amen. And so in other words, you know what? When they got ready, when they established those three cities, way wasn't always clear. You know, they had to invest their time going out, cutting trees. It had to be like the Roman mentality. The Romans had a mentality of make straight the path. They had to get the emperor from one place to another place. And so Romans didn't go around the mountains. They went through the mountains. Romans didn't traverse down around the rivers and back up and stuff. Nope, they went over the rivers with a bridge. They made it as straight as they could. So when Mark began to write concerning John the Baptist and he said, make straight the path, the Romans understood exactly what he was talking about because it was a term that was used for the emperors, for the Roman emperor. They knew that. And so it wasn't just a narrow path. It was a well taken care of path. And so there are some things that's got to be taken out of the path. There's some rocks, some stones. There's some roots that a person can trip over on their way to refuge. There's trees. So what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that setting of trees that is there? You know, let's go around it. No, we're not going around it. We're going straight through it. Cut them down. Well, that's going to take some work. You know what? You'll surely be happy that you took the time to take those trees out when it's your loved one or you that needs to get from here to there. You know what spiritually this is? This is getting down into the grounds of the heart, removing the rocks, the clutter that's down there. Every root of bitterness that is so able to defile. Taking the time to dig out that root of bitterness and said, you know what? You know, justifiably you're here because I went through it. But you know what? It's time to get over it. It's time to get past it. Why? Because there's somebody coming after me that's going to need a way that's clean and clear. You think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophesied appointment from the Old Testament. Isaiah spoke about it. Amen. All the way into, when you get into the book of Matthew, said that this was, which was prophesied before, that there should come a one that would make straight the path. John the Baptist was that one. What was he doing? He was clearing the path. He was making straight the path. And he said, here I am, but there's one coming after me. There's one following me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. I've got to make straight the path. And so he dealt with things. People wanting to be baptized for no reason whatsoever at all, just because that was the popular thing to do in that time, at that point in time and stuff. And so John the Baptist said, no. Who hath warned you of the wrath of God to come? Go, bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. And then we'll talk about being baptized. And so John the Baptist was clearing out these ways. John the Baptist was saying, repent. John the Baptist was already trying to soften their heart up so that they would hear it. And what happened? This is what happened. The Bible tells us that when Christ came and John the Baptist looked and said, behold, the Lamb of God which come to take away the sins of the world. The Bible says that John the Baptist's disciples stopped following John and followed Jesus. Friend, that's somebody who made the path clear. Because if John the Baptist was worried about his ego and worried about his popularity and worried about his then he wouldn't have made the way so clear because he would have been wanting them to stick close to him. But he was so plain and so real about it. John the Baptist was saying, and he knew, this isn't about me. This isn't about my feelings. This isn't about my popularity, my emotions. This isn't about me whatsoever at all. This is about Jesus. This is about the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. And so he invested his time to make it happen. And he wasn't the most popular guy in town, but he knew what he was doing. Amen. He knew that he could tell his disciples, look, you're not going to understand this, but salvation ain't coming through me. You're going to have to follow somebody else. And say, John, but we love you. And I mean, you're our best friend and stuff. John's like, this ain't about me. And he created this without even having to say it. He created it. He created an atmosphere that when he just simply spoke and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. His disciples understood. And they're like, I see the path. I see the way. And they followed after Jesus. That's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen. We need to live our life in such a manner, amen, that when people, amen, look to us, they're not seeing us, but they're seeing Jesus. Amen. They're looking. What do they see? Amen. This is what the Bible says, amen, that we are to magnify our Father which is in heaven, amen, to glorify Him, amen, that others may see our good works. It didn't say the good works of God. Go read it. He said that others would see your good works and magnify your Father which is in heaven. They're not praising you for your good works. They're praising God. Why? Because you prepared a way. Praise God. I should have stayed in my notes. But this is the way. Don't tell me you want revival. Pick up a shovel, amen, and come say, what do I need to do to have revival? And we're not talking about figurative shovels and stuff like that, amen, but we're just saying, amen, how can an individual get from where you are to where the church is? And you see, all of us here, we represent different areas in life. And we are the ones that are commissioned. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, amen, unto the Lord. Amen. From wherever you are, unto the place of safety. Amen, amen. It doesn't matter if you're in Newton, in West Wichita, amen, in Andover, in Augusta, in Derby, in Whitewater, in Tawanda, in El Dorado. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter if we're on 12th, amen, in Ohio, or if we're somewhere else. It matters not. But what does matter is that when somebody sees where I am, how can I get to Jesus? Amen. I've got to live a life that would make them desire to come to Jesus. I got to live a life, amen, that would make them want to come to Jesus. It is up to us to prepare the way. I want to make sure that that I'm preparing the way. That when somebody wants to get from me to Jesus, they don't have to come through my attitude. They don't have to come through my personality. They don't have to come through my bitterness. They don't have to come through anything. Amen. Rocks that's in my life. I've cleaned it all out. I've gotten it all out. I've created a place and a way that they can come to and not see me, but that they can see Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's preparing a way. I gotta prepare a way so that somebody that's in need of life, somebody that's in need of hope, somebody that's in need of mercy can find a place of safety in the refuge of the Master's hands. Let's love him tonight. Praise God. Not only did these roads have to be built, not only did they have to cut the trees, dig the rocks out, get the stumps out, get the roots out, they had to make everything just as level and as smooth as they possibly could. I don't understand why we got to do all of this. I don't understand why we got to have this. I don't understand why we got. We're making the path straight. We're creating a way so that somebody can get from where they are to Jesus as easily as possible. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And so each and every one of us are digging out roots of bitterness, stones of contentment. Each and every one of us are pulling these things out of our life. Each and every one of us are working together because at some point our lives begin to crisscross. I mean, think about the one that brought you to Christ. You crisscross somewhere. And so, but at these moments, they all start to come together. Then we get to the main road. Now, we've already talked about all the signs. There were signs all along. At every crossroad, there was a sign. Not one sign, but two signs. There were signs that stated, refuge, refuge. That way, nobody had to wonder, which way do I go? No, the road was plain. Make straight the path. One of the prophets said, talked about speaking the word plainly. Why? Keeps away from confusion. God's not the author of confusion. But at some point in time, the road was done. But at that point, it's not time to sit back and take it easy and to say, well, I've done my part. No, but because that you live in the city, there's still things for you to do. And it's called maintenance. Everybody had to do their part in maintaining the road. Not just in building the road, creating the road, creating the path. And that's what the Lord said, prepare the way. Not just in that, but now everybody's got to maintain it. You know why? Because there's going to come storms of life that are going to wash the road out. There's going to come tragedies of life that are going to knock some signs down. There's going to come hardships of life called winter. That's going to cause things to wear out, decay, erode, whatever. And so, every year they had maintenance. And every year everybody come together and started maintaining the road. And so they meticulously went over every detail of road. And when there was an area that was washed out, it's their responsibility to fix it. Wasn't their responsibility to say, over here, you need to come fix this. No. That could be your mom or your dad needing to get through this road, and you need to think about that, and you don't need to leave it to somebody else to fix it. I'm going to fix this because it may be my family that needs this road. And so there's a time every year, and not necessarily just once a year, but there's a time that we need to soul search because you know what? Life happens. That's what. life happens. And when life happens, I have to fix it. Yeah, and life isn't fair. There's things that happen. We've got plenty of testimonies in here that there's things that have happened that's not the way you dreamed it to happen. That's not the way you planned for it to happen. But it still happened. You know why? Because we all have an enemy in our life that does nothing but comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill your hope, steal your hope, destroy your hope, kill your dream, steal your dream, destroy your dreams, all of your ambitions, all of that. He wants to take all of that away so that you just get tired and you know. And you know what this road is for? It's, you know, things that accidentally happen and things that wasn't, you know, malicious, but yet it happened. It happened. It happened. You know what? In the heat of the moment, it happened, and there ain't anything that I can do to go undo it. But what do I have to do? I still have to prepare the path. I still have to fix the path. And so they would do that. After the spring rains, they would make sure that they came through. After the snow melt or whatever it was, they would make sure that they come through and make it. And when there was a signpost that had fallen down because of the strong winds or whatever it was, an avalanche, whatever it was, amen, they took it upon themselves. Look, got to stand the sign back up. I got to put the sign back up. Got to put it out. Refuge is this way. I got to put it back up. And they would get that sign, get it all straightened up. And sometimes the sign had faded because of the sun baking on it and bleaching it and stuff. And so they make sure that they got the rock, the marker, the whatever it was. And they would make it plain again. Malik. They'd get it all spelt out there. Refuge, refuge, refuge. This is what you need. Refuge. And that way, you know, when somebody's running, said, well, there's a sign, but I can't see what it says. No, the responsibility was mine. I had to go, but I seen a sign that needed taken care of, and I rewrote it, and I made sure that it said what it needed to say. I didn't add to it. I didn't take away from it. I just simply stated what was needed to be said. Refuge is straight ahead. And I stood it back up, and I got it in its place, and I made it. I'm preparing the way. You have that responsibility as well. Don't tell me you want revival. Prepare the path. Prepare the path. Don't sit there from the grandstands and from the bleachers and say, oh, we want revival. We want revival. I hope somebody creates a road. I hope somebody does, you know, that makes a way. I hope somebody does it. No. It's our responsibility. You know why? Because you may need it. The sojourner may need it. Or the stranger may need it. It may be somebody that's in the house of God. You here today, you need it. Could be a backslider that needs it. Could be somebody that don't even know anything about it. And they need it. But we have to prepare the path. When there is a river, a gorge, or anything else that's it, it's our responsibility not just sit back. Well, I hope they can make it because they're going to have a long drop down and then a big climb upwards. No. Somebody thought about the future. Somebody thought about those coming after. And somebody made it easier. Somebody built a bridge of how to get over it. That bridge just didn't happen overnight. That bridge represented a lot of hard work and sweat and time invested. Time. But somebody wanted somebody coming after them. I don't want you to have to go through the same thing that I went through. I'm going to build a bridge for you so that you can get over it a whole lot easier than I did. You know what that's called? That's called love. That's called thinking. That's called, amen, that's called thinking ahead. That's called hoping. That's called faith. That's the whole purpose of that. You understand the whole principle about preparing? Preparing is, I've got faith that somebody's going to need this. I've got faith that somebody's going to come after me. I'm going to build this bridge not because that I need to get over it. I've already gotten over it. I'm going to build this bridge because somebody else is going to need an easier way. Amen. And when we do that and they come in those doors, amen, and they begin to hear their life story, they'll be able to stand and they'll be able to come to an altar unfettered, amen, unblemished, doesn't have a lot of trash and garbage and gossip and discontent and bitterness and anger and vileness, amen, but it's clean because there's a church that says we not only interested in ourselves being saved, but we want somebody else to be saved. I've got children that need to be saved. I've got family that needs to be saved. I've got lost loved ones. I've got friends. I've got relatives. I've got co-workers. I've got neighbors. I've got somebody that needs to be saved. I've got to prepare a place for them. Let's stand and love the Lord here tonight. Praise God. And when they get here, the gate needs to be open. It's not closed. We're just protecting our four and no more. That's for different things. But when it comes to the city of refuge, the gate was open. That in the time of need, they could come in and they could find that place of safety because somebody invested time into somebody else's future. That's what it's all about. Praise God. Praise God. You know what work day around the church is? Preparing a way. You know what outreach at the church is? Preparing a path. You know what music practice is at the church? Preparing a path. Amen. You know what Wednesday night Bible study is all about? Preparing a path. Church, every time we have service, you know what it's about? It's about preparing a path. We got to keep it clean. We got to keep it clean. Life happens. Life happens. Amen. We just got to make sure. Amen. Because the devil wants to get into your life and wreak havoc in your life just so that somebody behind you would trip and fall. God forbid that happens in my life. I don't want somebody to trip and fall over something that I left there. I want to make sure it's clean. I want to make sure it's right. That does not mean that I'm perfect because I've got maintenance that I have to keep working on. Every time we come for family prayer, it's investing into the way. Every time that we come for prayer chains, that's preparing the way. What are we saying? It's like, God, I'm not just interested in just me being saved. Interested in somebody else as well. Prepare. You need to prepare for these things. Prepare for these things. You can't just sit back and hope. Oh, I hope it happens. I hope it happens. No. You got to prepare for it. Lord said, I'm going to give you lands that weren't yours. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to reap from vineyards that you didn't plant. But when I do that, then you're going to take three cities in the land that I give you. And I'm going to create the laws for that safe place. But I need you to prepare the way of how to get to those places. That's my responsibility. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You know, it'd be one thing to sit around and say, well, I hope the musicians don't embarrass us today. Well, prepare a way. They have music practice, be involved in it. Choir, you know what? That's choir practice. Oh, pastor's just pastoring now. But you know what? That's what choir practice is for.
Because the last thing that we want is for, amen, choir to get up to sing and everybody be off key and some visitor comes in and says, man, that's the most awful thing I've ever heard. So you know what we're doing? We're investing. We're investing time. We're investing time into our music. There are some of you that are practicing at home for hours. That's what it's all about. Preparing the way. Because I don't want them to trip over. I don't care what it is. I just don't want them to trip over it. And you need to take it very, very personal. As in, one day it may be me that needs that road. It may be my spouse that needs that road. It might be my children that need that road. A family member, relative that needs that road. Or just a good solid friend or neighbor that needs that road. It may be somebody connected to me that needs that road. And so I'm going to invest my time preparing the path. Amen. Praise God. I think it'd be good if we just come up around the altars and just commit our ways unto the Lord tonight. God, here I am. Use me. However that you see that you can, whatever you need to do, God, do it. Do it through me. Do it with me. However, whatever. God, we need it. Come on. Let God create that desire in you. Amen. Fulfill that passion. Create that path. Open up the way. Make plain the way. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's just take a little bit of time here tonight. Let's make sure that we get the word buried down deep in our hearts. Amen. Let's get the word buried down deep in our hearts. Oh, God, don't let me just get past this here tonight. But I want to make sure that I'm taking it upon me, my responsibility. I want to make sure, God. Oh, Savior, because it could be me that needs it, or it's going to be a family member that needs it. Oh, but somebody's going to need it, and there has to be a path. There has to be a way. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. Not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. Oh, but I'm going to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to make straight the path. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.